Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, it's Chris. You've heard me before on this channel. Let me tell you, when we at the Podfix Network are running an advertisement, it's because we really believe in the company. We often go to the company and ask to work with them directly and then vet their product. And I'm really excited to be working with MeUndies. MeUndies offers a great quality product. I'm even wearing them right now. I would wear two pairs if I could. So, we all know summer's sweaty and hot, but your tushy doesn't have to be that way. With MeUndies' light and breathable Micromoto fabric, you can stay comfy and cool all summer long. I don't know what Micromoto fabric is, but it feels incredible against my skin, and I would build a fort out of MeUndies and live in it if, you know, the wife and kids would let me. They have super fun seasonal prints like Star Wars, Mickey Mouse, Jack and Sally. And don't worry, if you're one of those people that doesn't want to have any fun in their underwear, you just want solid colors, they've got that too. Plus, they have tons of styles to choose from in sizes from extra small to 4XL. And I wish I was extra small, but that doesn't matter. You can bring the beach to your buttocks without ever leaving your living room. If you do dare to turn off the new season of Stranger Things and venture to the pool or beach, check out their new and improved swimwear styles. I like the one with sharks on it. They're soft, stretchy, and sustainably made. Make it a soft summer with MeUndies. Now, since you're listening to me here at Podfix, you have a great offer coming your way. For first-time purchasers, you get 15% off. If you sign up for their free-to-join membership, you can apply that 15% off to their already discounted membership prices. How cool is that? So to get 15% off your first order and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/podfix. That's PODFIX. MeUndies.com/podfix. And remember, stay fresh and cool, cheese bags.
Mark my words. Michael Knight will die.
I am the voice of Knight Industry 2000's microprocessor.
You wish to eat, you wish to drink, you wish to reproduce.
Yeah.
Which one first?
Excuse me, I was wondering if I could get a student loan.
I think you're in the wrong department.
Discipline has never been a problem, my dear.
What do you got to say about this one, Dave?
Did you see me staring into complete blank for a minute there?
Yeah, I lost you.
My brain was trying to pull the name that we created last week, Forget the Donkey, because I wanted to have... I had this whole funny story concocted in my brain about the... And I could... Literally, what's funny about it is that right before we started recording, I said, I am such and such naming, and now cannot remember something... It's something Terraformer, and I can't remember what we said.
Oh, Italian.
Known Italian Terraformer. See, the moment's lost now, because I had a story, like I was gonna tell this funny story about a known Italian Terraformer.
Man, you had the 1,000-yard stare. You were gone.
From the planet Xantex.
What does that mean?
Greg, his face is the wheel. Welcome to Champa and Climb the Knight Rider Years, a podcast by two friends who share a love of classic 80s television. I'm your host, Dave Champa.
I'm your other host, Melonhead, Greg Klein.
If you're new to the show, and if you made it past last week's episode, the basic idea of this podcast is that Greg and I choose a classic show from the 80s, and we dissect it episode by episode. And yes, we make a lot of fun of these shows, and we poke fun at these episodes quite a bit. But we do this out of complete love and admiration for an era that could never be replicated. 100%. This is why we do this. We love these shows more than anything in the world. Occasionally, we like to create our own side story within an episode to see where it takes us. Boy, did we ever. Also, Greg is convinced that all 80s television and movies are connected within the same universe, so that does come into play quite a few times throughout the run of our show. Greg?
David!
Have you recovered yet? How the heck are you?
Oh, man. I feel good. I'm feeling good.
You feeling all right?
I'm feeling pretty sharp. I'm having some, again, like we do often on this show, I'm having some grapefruit seltzer.
That's right. Dave, I'm on halfway through Whole 30 as of this recording. As of the date of this release, this will release January 26th, I will be 4 days away from finishing Whole 30.
So what do you have like a Whole 30 congratulatory binge at the end? Or so, is that a bad thing to do?
Actually, okay, so for those of you who are unfamiliar with what a Whole 30 is, and I'll kind of give you the rudimentary version of it because I don't have the exact explanation of it. Essentially, a Whole 30 is a way to kind of just cleanse your body out of all the toxins. A lot of people do a Whole 30 in January after the new year because between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I eat a lot. I eat a lot of crap. I eat a lot of garbage. So Whole 30 is a way to just kind of clean out my system. So what it entails is no refined sugars, no added sugars, no dairy, nothing, no grains, so no rice. And there's a few other things in there. No bread, no gluten, none of that stuff.
What about bird seed?
Bird seed, I don't believe you can do. We could try. No, actually, because you can have sunflower seeds. So I bet you could. So there are certain things that you have to modify. So like you can't have butter. So you have to use there's a butter alternative that a lot of people use, which is very good.
Crisco.
Yes, it's expired Crisco actually, because actually if it expires, the dairy, it's compliant. So we've been on this, my wife and I, for 15 days at this point. And I feel great. I actually haven't felt this good in over a year. My energy level is back. So the thing is, you can still drink coffee, but you can't put sugar or anything in it. So we've had to come up with and find compliant like creamers to use.
Can't you do dairy?
You can't do dairy.
Oh,
so okay. We found these compliant creamers called Nut Pods.
That sounds awful.
They're nut based, so it's a coconut creamer and vanilla flavored creamer, and it doesn't quite taste like French vanilla creamer. But it's just good enough to take the edge off because I don't really like black coffee very much.
Do you think Kit the Donkey had a couple of Nut Pods?
Probably. I bet he did.
Yeah.
I bet he did. Yeah. But anyway, Whole 30, for me, it's been great. I haven't been passed out in bed at 9 o'clock, except for last night. I was exhausted. But I feel like, you know, I think I said this a couple times before. After everyone goes to bed, I've usually got about 45 minutes left in me, so I can't actually watch a movie. The other night, after everyone went to bed, it was like 10 o'clock, I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
How was it?
2 hours and 41 minutes.
Liked it?
It was fantastic. It was, I mean, I'm a huge Tarantino fan anyway. Yeah. This was a very, it didn't have a Tarantino feeling until about the last 15 minutes.
Really?
Yes. It was super unconventional, but it was a very well done. Have you seen it yet?
No.
It's long. Yeah. Like I said, it's about 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic. I mean, Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio have some of the best chemistry I've ever seen on screen.
Wow.
In a movie in a long, long time.
Long time.
Long, long time. No, it was really, really good. But anyway, like 2-3 months ago, I'd be gone in 20 minutes, but I was able to sit there for the entire 2.5 hours for 40 minutes and watch the whole thing. And
That's fantastic.
I didn't even have I can't eat popcorn this month. So like, I couldn't even like enjoy any popcorn. So I had
bit your fingernails,
seltzer and plantain chips. Plantain chips have become my go-to junk food.
Those are really good.
I love plantain chips. Yeah. I will usually eat a bag a day.
Oh, wow.
The other day
are they expensive?
The bags from Trader Joe's are about $1.69, but at the Hannaford, they have them in the plastic containers about this big, which is like $3.49, and I'll eat one of those in a day.
So, Dave, just it's like maybe 14 inches long?
It's a gallon.
It's a gallon container full of plantain chips.
I'll tell you one thing. Eating healthy puts a huge hit on the financial aspect. Our grocery budget for the month, we've just thrown out the window.
You mean it's expensive.
Expensive to buy healthy.
Yeah.
We, like I said, we usually budget a specific amount every month for groceries, and we just threw it out the window for January.
See, that sucks. I mean, that just sucks.
And that's why people don't eat healthy, and I'm convinced that.
Yeah.
I am convinced that is why people do not eat as healthy as they can because healthy food. So let me, I'll give you an idea. We went shopping the first week we went shopping for Whole 30. We bought three different stores, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and Hannaford.
I'm going to guess because you couldn't find everything you were looking for in one place.
Correct.
Yeah.
With a lot of the stuff we couldn't find. So between all three stores in that first week, we ended up spending a cumulative $225 on groceries.
For a week.
Normally, when we're not on Whole 30, a week's worth of groceries usually nets us about $110 to $120 bucks a month.
Well, a week. You just feed like Lucy and Eva like old cabbage, and you guys like have eggs.
I'll give Lucy credit. Lucy has eaten 80% of the Whole 30 meals that we have made.
I meant like your regular diet. You guys kind of eat like dumpster food.
The girls pick out of the garbage, and Krista and I, we usually eat out of the recycling bin.
Because I've seen you, because you had chickens once, and you were getting a lot of eggs. And one by one, the chickens were dying.
They were getting murdered by the fishers.
Yeah, and then you were eating like eggs out of the dead chickens. Like there's one left in there. You would get it.
I had to go right up in there and get it.
That, of course, was a load of shit.
Yes, it was. All's that to say, I will continue on after February. I probably... And so that long-winded story was to tell you that there, I could very easily kind of have like a big like celebratory... We're done. They do not recommend that. They recommend a re-entry for the first like week or two of February.
Just to see how
where
it
you
feels.
Just slowly, like if you want to put dairy back in, like you just slowly, instead of just being like, let's go out and get like two large pizzas and crush it.
Yeah.
You go in and you have like maybe like a cheese quesadilla on a gluten-free wrap or something like that. Just to start reintroducing it back into your system.
Yeah.
I'm fairly convinced that I'm lactose sensitive and gluten intolerant.
Like intolerant, like
I've eaten usually after Whole 30 last year when I did it, I had just a regular old sandwich on a piece of bread. Within an hour, I could literally feel my stomach bloating,
like puffing up.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you wanted to hit it?
I felt like that. And then I went to the bathroom four times within 3 hours. I think my digestion has. Yeah. I
brilliant.
I just tend to ignore it. But based on how I feel now and the fact that I'm getting older. And I don't want to feel like that anymore.
Yeah.
I may have to amend some of my dietary needs.
Yeah.
I may go gluten-free for a while and see how that does to my body.
Oh, that'd be great.
So, do we want to keep talking about this or do we want to get into the episode?
I don't know. I mean, that was interesting. And for me to contribute, I have nothing to say. Nothing.
Well, it was interesting because last week, a lot of the conversation was... It was weird because like you did a lot of the talking last week and this week was... So maybe that'll be the whole thing.
We're very reciprocal.
We sure are. Do you want to talk about this week's episode, Gregory?
Yes.
Gregamundo?
I do.
All right, guys, here we go. It is season 3, episode 4, Knights of the Fast Lane. It is statistically proven that if Greg and I record two episodes in one sitting, this second episode tends to be the quicker of the two. I'm going to go out on a limb, and you said this a couple weeks ago. I officially, after watching Knights of the Fast Lane, I officially will say that this show is better than MacGyver.
Yeah. Yes. Now, there's a couple, like MacGyver.
Don't get me wrong, MacGyver is phenomenal. It's one of the best shows the 80s had to offer.
I feel like Knight Rider doesn't take itself seriously.
And it knew it. It knew it going into the show.
I think that's the difference. Like, MacGyver is a legit good show with great points. And I think there was a message in it that people remember as children. Like, it comes back. But as such, it wasn't as entertaining.
You're right. After watching now, you know, two seasons plus, I'm just thinking to myself, like, this is a show that has tried to be rebooted and failed. Like, this is just something that, like... You can't make the shit up that happens in this show. And I am enjoying this show so much more than I was with the MacGyver stuff. Not to say, again, yes, MacGyver was great, but there was very little goof factor.
No, like MacGyver was fun to watch, but there were definitely stretches where it's like, this is a bit of a chore.
Yes.
To sit down and watch.
I remember nearing the end of the show. I know that season 7 went off the rails. But I remember nearing the end of MacGyver where it was just like, this became a chore.
Like season five is when it rounded the corner. It's like, man, this isn't...
The last half of five, six, and seven were just like, we had to just slog through it. I don't think we're going to do that with this because it's just these episodes have been thoroughly entertaining.
Yeah,
Even the bad ones.
It's just pacing. Granted, yes, some of them aren't great, but the pacing is faster.
Yes.
Granted, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't happen in some of these episodes where you had all this time to give this backstory and you didn't.
Oh, absolutely.
Instead, you did a montage of Michael playing Atari while driving.
There's so many
whatever.
Montages.
I know. More and more. And there's something I got to talk about in this episode,
okay.
A particular song that you had to have noticed.
Oh, I think I did. Well, yeah. I think it actually comes up pretty quickly. So we open the episode on two men who are getting ready for some good old-fashioned underground illegal drag racing.
Only that it's not underground. It's actually above ground.
It's straight up outdoors.
In a parking lot.
Yeah.
It's not like Tremors.
It's a 3.5 mile course that ends and starts and ends in the same place.
Uh-huh.
And, we meet the main quote unquote antagonist, Mark.
Mark!
Mark is driving what is referred to as a Dagger DX. Mm. Now they describe the car later in the episode, but I'm going to describe it for you guys right now. It is, according to Kit, an Italian-produced custom car with a double-turbo 600-horsepower engine, 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds, and a top speed of 200-plus miles per hour. Highly illegal to drive in the United States.
Now, are there... I imagine there are cars that can do 0 to 60 in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
That seems useless.
It does. Why would you need to use that?
I don't know.
Why would that feature need to be a thing?
I think 0 to 60 in 40 seconds is reasonable.
Yeah.
I'm not in a hurry.
No, this guy, Mark, clearly is. Mark is with his girlfriend, Stacy.
Oh, Stacy.
And his bodyguard, or his other mustache friend.
You know, her mom. Her mom's
got it going on.
Oh, shit.
That's right. I don't understand who this other guy was. Not Mark. I'm sorry, Jack. Jack's the guy who was driving the other car.
Yeah.
But the other mustached man with Mark.
Oh, Chode Warrior.
Yes. Chode Warrior?
Yeah, that's what I'm calling.
Do you want to know what his real name was?
Yes.
He was credited as he's only credited on IMDb as Bloodworth.
Wow.
That is his name. I don't know if he's ever called that in the episode, but he is known as Bloodworth.
Well, I recognize him.
I didn't
from other show. I mean, he's an actor.
Oh, yes, he is.
He's an actor.
He's acting in the show.
No, he's a vagrant that they found like in the area that they were shooting. It's like, hey, you want to be in the show, and we're gonna call you Chode Warrior.
Yes, perfect. I love it.
But I recognize him. He was the what's his name's kind of right hand man,
Jack.
Yes,
yeah, not Jack. Mark.
Mark's because Mark's right hand man.
Because Jack is the other guy who's driving the other car. He's driving a Ferrari. Is that a Ferrari?
Wait, okay, let's start from scratch. Okay, start from scratch.
Yes.
Who's Mark?
Mark is driving the Dagger DX.
And he is?
He is dating Stacy.
Okay, Mark and Stacy. Mark is like the head dude.
Yes.
Stacy's got it going on.
Stacy's the girlfriend who's got it going on.
And he's driving the Dagger. Jack
is driving the Ferrari and is convinced that he can beat Mark
for $50,000.
$50,000.
Right. And then there's Chode Warrior.
And then there's Chode Warrior, who's just there.
Who's there? He's there. He's the flag girl.
Were you going to say he arose?
I was going to say he arose.
he arose from the dumpster.
He arose from the... Yeah. No, he's there. He's the flag girl.
Except Stacy is, but that's okay.
Oh, you're right.
Stacy flags it.
She does.
So he takes the bet, and they start, so the race begins, and the Dagger easily overtakes Jack and the Ferrari. But unfortunately, around the last bend, the Dagger's brakes fail, swerve into Stacy, throwing her to the ground while the Dagger slams into the side of the dumpster.
Perfect.
Mark gets out and tells Chode Warrior, call the police, cover this up, and pretend that nothing happened, and I do not want you here when the police arrive.
Yeah.
So they leave Stacy alone, unconscious, in the middle of the night, behind a dumpster.
Right. His own freaking girlfriend.
His own.
That he sideswipes. He hits with his own car.
He literally drilled her with the car.
But also, he does ask, like, why did you let her stay out in the middle of the road?
I mean, he's
like,
not
I didn't
wrong.
Let her do anything. Yeah, not the best place to stand.
And also, why did Stacy just stand there? Did she just... Well, because he asks her a couple minutes before, he goes, you think you can occupy yourself for a minute and a half until I get back? And she goes, so she just stands there and waits for him to come back.
Stands in the middle of the road and gets sideswiped.
All right, fair enough.
Mouth to mouth by Chode.
Come back to life.
Chode to mouth. Meanwhile, the next morning, Michael and Kit are arguing about football. Michael loves it. Kit hates it. I'm with Kit. I can't stand football.
I just have no interest.
So, yeah, they're just arguing. Like, Michael's like a diehard football guy. He loves the sport. They're scanning the front of page of the newspaper, and Michael sees this article about last night's hit and run, and he immediately recognizes the victim of the hit and run.
Oh, my God. He goes, her mom's really got it going on.
Oh, that's Stacy, and I've heard things about her mom. I think she's got it going on. Mark my words, Kit. She will have it going on with me.
Michael, I think you're channeling...
Michael, she's in a coma.
Dead guy. Yes.
I know.
So Michael goes to the hospital, and he runs into a guy by the name of Sergeant Courtney. Michael recognizes him almost immediately, and he makes some reference to how he knows... Not to how he knows him, but he makes a quick reference, and Courtney's like, I'm sorry, I have no idea who you are. And Michael,
I don't know, is it that scene?
It's a quick scene, but then there's a later scene. And then he offers to basically like, listen, I'm sorry, like how Stacy, I'm gonna vow that, you know, we're gonna find this person together. And Courtney's like, yeah, I don't really need
I don't
your
want
help.
Your help. But the guy that's playing like Captain Courtney, no, Sergeant Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
I like Captain Courtney better.
That's cool.
That sounds like a great sitcom.
Captain Courtney?
Yeah.
I was gonna never mind, go ahead, keep going.
So Captain Courtney, no, Sergeant Courtney, he's like in permanent brood mode. He's like,
oh yeah, he's just got a scowl every time we see him.
Like, he's like so preoccupied with, because Stacy's his daughter.
Yeah, so we find that out. He's, you know why he's mad is because his wife doesn't have it going on.
Not anymore.
Nope. No, not at all. So it turns out that the reason Michael recognized him almost immediately is because Michael Long was Sergeant Courtney's partner.
What? That's crazy.
Over 2 years ago. And Michael has this very nice moment. He's like, you know how they always say that your partner's, you know, he said, he basically told me, like, told Kit, Sergeant Courtney was like his father. He was like, just, you know, he was the young rookie and Courtney was the well-seasoned veteran of the police force. Like, they were a great team.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so Michael kind of vows to himself and to Kit to find the culprit. And he tells Kit, you dig deep and you find anything you can about this, because there's obviously no evidence. Like, nothing is there. Which,
right.
I have a problem with this because of the next scene when we see Michael scoping out the accident.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a problem, Dave? Because I've got problems.
I do.
But this is, are you going to talk? Because there's that scene where Michael has to convince Devin, you have to let me do this. It's personal.
Yes, like, this is it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, that's about it. Like, basically, he tells him, Devin says, are you doing this? Like, no, you know, I got to do this. I got to see it through. It was, you know, he was a partner, you know, and this and that is his daughter. I have to do this.
What I love about Devin, though, in all of these now is, like, Devin, he starts with this just annoyance. But by the end of it, when he realizes the passion with Michael, he's like, you have to do what you got to do. Like, be safe. Do it. Just do it.
And it's like,
just get it done.
You're right. You were shot in the face, and we gave you a new face and an identity, and your old life is gone. So I think that you need to come to grips with that.
I think we owe it to you, Michael.
Yeah, pretty much.
So this is another one of those episodes where Michael's past comes into play. Like, this is the fifth time this series that this happens.
And it's the other thing. Like, they're trying to, in the beginning, they were so concerned about his identity slipping out.
Right.
And that you can't let Kit do anything. You can't let people see Kit.
Right.
Yeah. That's definitely slipping.
Yeah.
Like, they're not.
Oh, absolutely.
They're not holding to their own rules anymore.
So I think this is the moment that you were talking about with the music. So we cut to the LA Cougars football field where the cheerleaders are practicing. The team's out on the, field.
I'm going to say the cheerleaders are practicing, air quotes.
Yes.
It's more like a jazzercise session.
Greg, what are they practicing to?
They're practicing to none other than an instrumental version of the Ghostbusters theme.
It's like, what? So wait, when was this episode aired? This
85?
Episode aired in October of 84.
Oh,
so 84. I guess that would make sense because Ghostbusters was the same year.
So it ties back into our discussion last week about Ice Pirates, the movie Ice Pirates.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So, like, these coincidences are too close.
I want to know when Ghostbusters was released. So Ghostbusters was released summer of 84. So that would make sense because this song was a big hit throughout the rest of the... Yes, okay.
So it makes sense that they would be doing it, but it's just tied in. So I don't know. Whatever.
Yep, I get
it,
though.
There it is.
So here's where we see...
But...
Yes.
As a result, so, okay... The Ghostbusters theme wasn't being played as a soundtrack. The cheerleaders were rehearsing to it, correct?
Yes, that's what I would imagine.
Which puts Knight Rider in our universe.
That's correct.
For realsies.
That is absolutely correct.
And yep. We were born in the 80s.
Yes, we were.
So there it is.
And there it is. And there it is.
I don't know what my point is, but it's correct.
So we see Mark again, the guy who hit his girlfriend.
God.
Who's apparently the owner of the LA Cougars.
Oh, really?
Mark sees Diane, Stacy's friend and fellow cheerleader, and she walks up to Mark and says, "Hey, do you know what happened to Stacy after, you know, last night?" He goes, "Oh, I have no idea what happened to her. I haven't seen her since 10 o'clock. I got a phone call. I had to leave. It was about 10 o'clock. That was the last time I see her." And she was like, "Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, if you haven't heard..." So apparently, Stacy is dating Mark, but Mark is also married.
Okay. But her friend knows.
So the friend is way in on that. Like,
yeah,
absolutely
totally
knows that this is a whole thing.
And Mark just, like, bullshits. He's like, "You know what? We were going to get together at 10, and she left around 10:15, 10:30, and I never saw her since."
Yep.
"Did you hear anything?" "No, I didn't hear anything." "Oh, well, okay, blah, blah, blah,
all right,
blah,
great.
Blah. Let's not tell anybody about this. Go back to practicing. Bye."
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Go back to your weird Ghostbusters jazzercise.
I want to see what that halftime show looks like.
Do you?
Yes, I really do. I really do. Also, the LA Cougars are apparently an NFL team in this universe.
Okay, so that's maybe they were one at one point.
Because they talk about the Super Bowl. Later on in the episode, Mark says something about how we're going to the Super Bowl this year. I'm like...
Are you, though?
The L.A. Cougars, huh?
I don't know if any of your players are big enough to play football.
I'm just looking to see if that is actually a thing.
Well, I think what would be great if the L.A. Like, when Michael Knight went there, the cheerleaders actually were men, and the L.A. Cougars was actually just a bunch of attractive older women wearing leopard print.
So the L.A. Cougars, nope, not a thing. Nope.
Can you just picture that? Like,
just a bunch of old women on the field?
Not old, no. Like, you know, like cougars.
Like actual cougars?
Yeah. Like LA, like women cougars. Yeah?
Did you just hear my throat?
I did. It sounds like you got to stop smoking.
Okay. So Michael and Kit arrive at the scene of the accident, and they survey everything. Now, Michael calls what happened last night bonsai running. Apparently, because he sees four sets of tire tracks and then deduced that they were doing some street racing.
Okay.
It's apparently called bonsai running.
Sure.
Okay, whatever. He finds a paint chip and pulls it out of the dumpster and has Kit scan it. Now, why didn't the cops find that? It's pretty blatant
tracks or anything.
Yeah, they did nothing.
Nope.
And so Kit starts scanning the paint chip and he goes, "Well, it's an exotic car, Michael. It could take a little bit of a while."
But did you hear what he said about the paint?
No.
A special type of paint that's used on certain cars that's got an extremely high lead content.
High lead paint. That's right. He's
like, what?
Okay, fair
enough.
High
lead paint. That's like leaded gasoline, but like instead of like high octane, it's extremely high lead.
Yes.
I want more lead in this.
To make it really leady.
So much lead. By painting this car, I want to add another 50 pounds to it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, okay, cool. So in another scenario of Michael just randomly putting two and two together, he's like, "Well, if this is an exotic car with special tires, then they must be using special fuel, nitromethane. Kit, scan the area and see if there's any places that supply nitromethane." "Well, Michael, there's only one place that supplies fuel in the area." "Oh, okay, well, let's go there."
Specialized racing fuel.
So they go to this like it's a private club,
right,
that supplies nitromethane.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
of course they do.
So shockingly, Michael breaks in, jumps right over the barbed wire.
I don't know why he had to jump over the barbed wire when Kit can pick locks.
Or just turbo boost over the Just give him enough of a berth and he could absolutely
have... Or eject him over. It doesn't matter.
Right. And he uses the ejector seat for some stupid ass fucking reason later in the episode.
I know.
So what? Anyway. Michael breaks in almost immediately to be chased down by some unnamed woman in a car who immediately stops and tries to kick him out.
You better go. This is a private place. You got to get out of here.
And, you know, Michael's doing schmarmy, like, dickhead Michael.
He's being like a freaking creep.
He's totally be. I mean, she's a relatively attractive woman, so he's probably just trying to feel her out. Out.
Okay.
But before leaving, he notices a logo, like a bumper sticker, with a flaming E on the side of the car. And he has Kit, from wherever the fuck Kit is, take an image of the E.
Kit, take an image and take a look at this.
Like,
where
was Kit to be able to take an image of that?
Back at the chain link fence where
Michael... Do you
think
Michael Kit has satellite imaging?
Sure. Why not?
Sure. Okay. Let's go with that.
I think Kit can also teleport, and Kit can also see through time.
So Kit see the time knife?
Time knife?
You think Kit sees the time knife?
What's the time knife?
Or do you think he's part of the Jeremy Bear Me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyone who watches The Good Place will know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I have.
I bet Kit saw the time knife.
I know the show, but I don't know what the time knife is unless it can make me a nice,
it's cute,
buttered muffin.
It probably could.
I don't want it.
So not long after, Kit says that the sticker comes back to, it's a group called the Racer's Edge, which is run by none other than the owner of the LA Cougars, Mark Taylor.
Owner of the racer. Do you think that, I don't know what I'm talking about. Do you think that Racer's Edge is a really close play in words to Razor's Edge?
I would imagine. That was my first thought.
Racer's Edge?
Guys, we're going to go to the Racer's Edge.
Oh my God. We're going to go right up to the limit. The limit of driving. Everything in the 80s was about the limit.
Yeah.
The ultimate.
Pushing it to the limit.
The ultimate.
Got to push it to the limit.
Push Absolutely. It to the ultimate. It's the ultimate, Dave. It's the ultimate limit. Go beyond the limit.
Hey, you want to know what's happening with Jack?
Nope.
He's panicking, and he's probably going to freak. He's starting to freak out because he's afraid of these things are going to fall apart, and he's going to get caught. And Mark's like super calm, being like, I fucking own half this town.
Yeah.
Like, you got nothing to worry about.
How do you think I got here? I had to deal with little hiccups throughout the whole, you know, so don't worry about
right.
it. Just stay cool.
And so, like, Jack, like, walks away, like, panicky. And so, what do we call him? Douche Chode? Chode Warrior's like, oh, I'm pretty sure he's gonna crack. And Mark just has one line before we cut to commercial. He's like, well, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this.
Okay.
Oh, what? Well, are you gonna kill him?
Yeah. Like,
I'm assuming he's planning on killing him.
And well, you think
he does.
He absolutely does, but in a kind of
spectacular fashion.
In a spectacular place, Dave.
Yes, he does. So Michael comes back to the football field.
Spectacular.
And he has this one little, like, you know, we got to have every moment there's a Michael creep. He creeps very creepily taken with the cheerleaders because they're cheering, and like it's like a far shot of Michael on the other side, and the cheerleaders, he's got his hands on his hips, and he's just like doing his like Michael smile, like just looking at these cheerleaders. So he finds Diane.
Diane.
And we see Mark and Douche Arrow stand. I can't remember. What did you?
Chode Warrior, Chode Dave. Warrior. How is that so hard to forget?
No, like I forgot the Kit Air, the temporal.
What?
I know, right?
Temporal Douche Arrow?
I don't know. So Michael starts asking Diane, like, you want to kind of give me an idea of maybe what happened to Stacy, aside from her having it going on, or her mom. And so Diane, like, has this one comment. She's like, well, it's all because of me that Stacy became a cheerleader. And Michael's just like, huh, what does that mean? What does that have to do with anything? Yeah. What are you talking about? And so Michael's just like, okay, well, that's weird. But like, I was thinking of a cab. Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Okay. Bye then.
Okay. See ya. So Mark and Bloodworth come over and start talking. I can remember his name, but I can't remember Douche Arrow. Arrow Canoe.
Okay. Let's move on.
So Mark comes over and he starts like, kind of like, creeping around Michael, and he's like really taken with Kit. And he offers up and he's like, listen, he's like, what do you say we race about this? He's like, well, let's just get in a race. Let's just do this. Maybe not me, but I'll give you my number two man.
Yeah.
We'll race back and forth against each other. He's like, if you can beat Jack, then I'll give you a run at myself. We'll take that. And Michael's like, all right, cool. But Mark has plans to take care of Jack's car.
Right.
That's what he says to Bloodworth.
Not just that, it's going to cost Michael $50,000 to race.
And I love this moment because when Michael calls, no, you could tell Michael's avoiding it. And Kit finally says, Michael, don't you think you should be calling Devin to ask for that money? And he goes, right. Okay, let's do it. And so Kit's like, Devin says, he starts talking and Michael just outwardly says, I need that $50,000. And Devin goes from a smile to just
totally deflated.
I love it.
Michael's just like, taking all of our money.
Devin is such a penny pincher.
Yeah.
The foundation's worth, you got to imagine the foundation's worth how much money.
Don't know.
So much freaking money.
Here's the thing. I have a feeling that the foundation is actually pretty cash poor.
They might be, because Devin flips out. Well, between last week and this week, he's borrowed $150,000.
Right.
And we assume he's probably gotten the money back, or maybe not. I don't know. But he's borrowed $150,000.
Not just that, all the dumb shit he does to Kit, constant maintenance, that semi-truck's driving around constantly.
Yep.
I mean,
that's a gas hog.
I mean, and we only see Devin, Bonnie, and Michael essentially at the foundation.
Right.
But I'm going to guess there's hundreds of other people working that they have to pay.
Oh, absolutely.
So I actually think the foundation is kind of just like, not a slush fund, but like the figurehead. And they actually don't have a lot of money. They just manage all of it.
Yeah, I bet that sounds about right.
Wilton Knight was the money bag.
Yeah.
No, now he's very dead.
He's dead. So while this is happening, Michael is pulled over by a police officer, and it turns out to be Sergeant Courtney, who basically kind of accosts Michael and tells him to stop snooping around. Like, stop. You don't know what you're getting. Just leave me alone. Get out of my face. Courtney says to Michael that he did some snooping. He did a little background check on Michael Knight and came to find out that Michael Knight didn't exist as of 2 years ago. So we get a little time frame here where it's only been 2 years since the start of the show.
But doesn't that conflict with another episode? The timeline was a little...
There's a conflicting timeline, Eric.
I mean,
at some point in season two, they mention that it's been longer than 2 years.
Two and a half years.
Yeah.
The timeline... Something... It just doesn't add up. But who knows? They could be talking in generalities. I mean, who knows? Whatever.
That's true.
Doesn't matter.
So Michael gets the $50,000 for the race. They get to the race, and they're to race five laps around the track.
Now let's just talk about the track. Did you notice anything spectacular about it?
Not really.
Anything particularly spectacular?
Oh, yes. I do believe you are correct. This very easily could have been the same set as Slam and Sammy's Stunt So Spectacular.
I think it was.
It absolutely.
Simply because I recognized the paint on the curbs. It was red.
Yep.
There's just so much about it. The shape of it, the background. It was the same track. It had to have been.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's what happened. So let's just say, for sake of argument, Slam and Sammy's dead. And this guy, Mark, bought it.
Bought the track.
Or like,
I buy that.
Raced, and then Sammy's like, screw this. And his son went off and did something else and went racing professionally somewhere.
Yeah.
Mark bought this for his own personal racetrack.
I'd buy that.
Okay. Let's
absolutely
roll with that.
Absolutely. So as they're getting ready to start, Kit says to Michael that the tires on Jack's car match up with the tires at the accident, but it is not the same color as the other car.
The paint.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Because the dagger's gold, and the car that Mark is driving, or Jack is driving,
is red.
Is red.
Right.
Right. It's a Porsche.
Sure.
I think it's a Porsche.
Yeah, and there's not as much lead in it.
Yes, exactly.
I'm just making that up.
It's less leady.
There's not as much lead under his fingernails.
At some point during the race, the wiring in Jack's car starts going haywire. He swerves out of control as Kit's like telling Michael like what's going on. He's like, Michael, if we don't get to him soon, his fuel tank's going to rupture.
Okay, Kit. Great.
The car explodes, killing Jack instantly.
Yeah, burning him to a crisp.
Yep.
Permanently grafted to the seats.
Well, I mean, we're well versed in grafting.
Melted into the polyester seats. They become one.
They'll bring him back.
Yeah. Oh my God, they bring back Jack. That'd be amazing.
Bring back Jack. Grafted to the seat of the car.
He comes back as a car seat.
Rest in peace, Jack. I'm sorry. So back at the hospital. Yes.
That's how the unmanned kit drives with a jack grafted seat.
There's another, there's somebody else. There's someone in kit grafted to his seat.
Let's move on.
Anyway, back in the hospital, Michael runs into Sergeant Courtney again. Courtney shockingly gets pissed at Michael, calls Michael out for killing his only suspect, which apparently was Jack.
Yeah, and he's like, I didn't do anything.
He's like, no. He's like, it's n- and also, it's not the same suspect because the car that was being driven the night of the accident was gold and not red. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, so the suspect couldn't have just gotten in a different car, you dipshit?
And the cops didn't check this, and I guess Sergeant Crusty is the only one doing this thing?
There's no other cops in this episode except for Sergeant. Would you call him Crusty?
Crusty.
So Michael at this point slips up and calls Sergeant Courtney Jimbo. And he goes, what is that?
It's a name from
There's only
past.
Two other people that ever, no, nobody calls me that anymore.
That's, he said it's so weird, but like, so like,
it's a name from the past. Nobody says that anymore.
Yeah.
That's a version of myself that I've murdered and buried. I don't ever want to talk about that.
Yes. It's like, Jimbo's not a bad nickname. It's right. Okay.
There's all this weird stuff. Like Michael knows who he is. Jimbo doesn't recognize him. There's this weird tension.
Yeah.
And it's just odd. Like I'm waiting and waiting for the recognition to happen.
Yes. It doesn't really come until... No, it never comes.
Never comes.
It never comes. You're right.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. We can just end the episode now.
Okay.
So Mark and Diane are driving along, and Mark asks, hey, Diane, have you seen this Michael Knight? Has he been around at all? And Diane is like, no, I haven't seen him at all. And before he drops her off, he tells Diane, the one thing I will not tolerate is disloyalty. Do you understand? Yeah, okay, I get it. 3 seconds later, after he drops Diane off, Michael comes around the corner to start talking.
Like, hey, Diane.
Where did you come from? There's no way Mark wouldn't have seen you.
I want to tell you a little ditty about Mark and Diane.
Sucking on chili dogs?
Down by the Taste of Freeze?
That's right.
Only it was Jack.
How do you Jack's suck on dead, a chili though. Dog? That's weird.
Yeah, okay. How do you suck on a chili dog? You have to suck the chili off. Sucking down. I mean, I get it. I know what I get.
Was it sucking on or sucking down?
Sucking down
chili dogs. Maybe it was sucking down. Sucking down.
But it doesn't matter. It's not. I mean, Jack's dead in the car accident. And Diane's like,
that's true. Anyway, so Michael shows up shortly after Mark dropped her off. He wants to know who Stacy had a date with, and Diane's like, oh, I don't know. And then Michael's like, he plays the sick card. Listen, your friend's in the hospital. She's in a coma because of this.
But, okay, much like last week's episode, this is the next day still.
Yeah.
All the shit that we've talked about has happened in less than 12 hours.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep. And in another brilliant move, Michael deduces after this one conversation, oh, he's like, Stacy and Mark are dating.
Oh.
Okay. Cool, like what the fuck? Come on, man. So Michael says they're gonna have to find another way to prove that Mark owns the dagger that hits Stacy. So Michael and Kip, as my voice chat said.
Oh, Kip.
Michael and Kip drive out onto the football stadium, not just in by the football stadium, right out onto the field.
Yeah, into the middle of a practice game.
Yep. Opens the sunroof and beautifully catches a football that has just been thrown. Kit catches a football right in his seat. And Michael's doing this because he wants the spotlight to be directly on him. Because Mark and Bloodworth are standing up in the stands, just like watching this whole thing go down. And he's just like, just dicking around with the football players. Like, they're all like, the football players are jumping on Kit, trying
so
to like.
Cool. Michael pulls up. And then, you know, the first thing I would be is like, you just destroyed our field, you asshole.
Right. Right, exactly. Exactly. So he gets Mark to come down, and he ejects. Did you say this already? He ejects the football back to the field?
No, he caught it, but he ejects it back out, yeah.
So there's your ejector seat.
Yep, there it is.
He uses it for a fucking football, but he can't launch. He can launch Michael 60 stories to the top of a parking garage, but he can't launch him over a barbed wire fence. Okay, whatever. Nope, that's fine. So when Michael finally sees Mark on the field, he's like, you promised me a race. You don't want your team to think that you're a coward, do you, Mark?
Oh.
So Mark's like, all right, we'll do this. But you know what? We're not going to do this for money. We're going to do this in exchange for our cars.
David, what?
And Michael accepts. And I love the scene. Oh no, the scene comes afterwards. So Michael doesn't, or Mark doesn't bring the dagger to the race, as they hoped they would, but they still end up racing. As Michael has planned, he loses on purpose and gives Kit to Mark, shuts down all of Kit's systems, but turns on the homing device.
Very smart, Michael.
So this is one of the smartest moves Michael's done so far.
It really is. It's like Kit's got all this stuff. All you got to do, you know, all you got to do is let Kit do his thing.
Yeah, he's like, I'm sorry, this was the only way, Kit.
But back at the foundation, Bonnie is bullshit.
That's literally what I wrote. I wrote, Devin and Bonnie are absolutely bullshit at Michael for losing Kit.
You lost Kit in a race?
It was the only way.
What do you, it was like, Bonnie is like, it's like my baby.
Yeah.
Only like, no, because like April's been the surrogate mother for the past year.
You've only been back for 2 weeks, but whatever. Yeah, it's cool.
Fine. Kit!
But they're bullshit at her.
Well, she rebirthed Kit in the, you know,
yeah.
She rebuilt him.
She really did. And so she ends up going with Michael to find him in Devin's car because she's got the device.
The Mercedes.
Yeah. She's got the device that can hone in, but she's not actually able to pull in anything off the homing device because there's too much interference.
And Michael is so mad. It's like, Bonnie, you find out where Kit is. It's like, Michael, I can't. There's so much interference. Where is it? Should I go north or south? She's like, go south.
Okay, let's go south. And so they get in Devin's car and they start heading south. I love this next scene. So Diana goes up to Mark in the next scene to quit the team because she's done. She's like, she just doesn't want to be part of this anymore.
Go up in the next scene to quit the team.
And he immediately kidnaps her.
Oh, yeah, right off the bat.
So he just takes her and runs.
All right, well, you come with me.
All right, fair enough. Mark comes into the garage with Diane and tells Blood?
Bloodworth.
Oh, Bloodworth. That he wants her, so you tie her up because she knows everything.
I couldn't remember the own dumb name that I gave him. I'm calling him Corpse Farmer. That's what popped into my head.
Corpse Farmer.
Right.
Bloodworth the Corpse Farmer. Actually, that makes a lot of sense. I like that.
Not Chode Warrior, but Corpse Farmer.
Bloodworth the Corpse Farmer. So yeah, he walks in, he's like, tie her up, she knows everything. And then he leaves. And so at this point, like, Bloodworth's been trying to, like, break into Kit, and he's like, bending drill bits, trying to get in. He cannot figure out how to do it. And again, Michael just is like, so they're getting closer because Bonnie's picking up a stronger signal every time, like, as they're driving. And again, in another brilliant moment of Michael, he's just like, so where could they be keeping? Of course, Taylor Stadium at the headquarters. They're all in the same area. So, of course,
they go straight there, and oh, guess who's there?
So he radios for Sergeant Courtney first.
That's right.
And they meet up on the side of the road, and he's like, listen, I know where the man is who ran down Stacy. And Bloodworth just like, Bloodworth. Courtney like turns around, he looks over in the area, and he goes, let's do it.
And I know, just, like, they it's walk just
in,
the two of
and
them.
They just walk in together.
But it's so weird. So it's like, we know that they used to be partners.
Right.
But they're not playing this up enough.
No.
Come on, it's like the team's back together again, right. But it's just kind of like, meh, here we go.
And they have this one little moment here. This is the only other moment that they reference it until the very end of the episode. They both head in there together, and Courtney's starting to get a little suspicious. He's like, you know, how did you know this was an area that I knew so well? Like, how would you know that I'm the one to know this? He's like, only two other people in my entire career would have known this. So he names one guy, and then he's like, and the only other person who would have known that is Michael Long. And they cut to Michael, and he's just like,
yeah,
like wide-eyed, like, it's me.
I know. Well, see, and this is another moment where I thought he was going to throw in another hint.
Right.
Where it's like, you know, I really wanted that connection to be made. Like, because it was easy enough for him and his girlfriend.
Yeah, Stacy.
Diane. No, Michael Long's girlfriend.
Oh, Tanya.
Tanya.
Yes.
Right. So it's easy enough for him to identify each other and be okay, but he can't tell his previous partner.
No.
Like, it's like, oh, you just like enough. Someone else needs to know.
Yeah, exactly. And I love this because Michael immediately breaks the silence and the tension by saying, hey, you want to talk now or you want to find the guy who hit Stacy? I'm just like, oh, okay, well.
Okay, let's go.
Oh, all right, let's.
I just want to bring up another point about Michael's partner. That episode where he had the amnesia and he went back to his old precinct.
Yes.
Was his partner there?
Courtney?
Yeah.
I didn't see him.
I didn't see him either.
We may have, maybe we'll go back and take
we'll
a peek.
Have to look. Yeah. Because that would make sense. You know, that would be interesting.
Absolutely.
Unless Courtney was still on a leave of absence to grieve.
That's a good point.
Or he
actually
went to Tijuana to get drunk and
also a solid point. Yeah. So as they're getting closer, Michael reactivates Kit, who tells Michael that he's in some sort of a garage, and Courtney's like, oh, I know exactly where that is. And they like run towards the area that they're supposed to be in. So they break in. Bloodworth comes after them. They knock him out pretty easily, but not before Mark and Diane drive out and away in the Dagger.
Right. And Michael jumps in Kit, leaving Sergeant Courtney behind.
Right.
To probably
to deal with the corpse farmer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's like, you know what? It's not your job anymore. I'm going to go get your daughter. And like Courtney's been like a bull about this.
Oh, yeah.
But Michael's like, nope, my job. Bye.
Yep, absolutely. So Kit and Michael chase after them. Really long chase sequence, like around this like really windy road. Kit gets just close enough to jam the electrical systems in the Dagger to prevent, because Kit's really nervous because Mark is swerving out of control. He's like, worried that he's gonna just take too sharp of a turn and go right off the cliffside,
kill both of them.
Right?
No, not great. Not great. David.
No. So he jams the systems, shuts down the Dagger, and prevents it from going over the cliff. Michael and Mark fight on the cliffside. Michael knocks Mark out. Freeze frame on Michael hugging Diane.
Of course.
And like, that's it.
That's it.
And that's it. Stacy's out of her coma.
Uh-huh.
We get that nice little moment of Stacy and Courtney and Mark and Michael walking around the track at the football field.
Mm-hmm.
Really emotional moment in this episode right here. And I loved it. He goes, Courtney is like, listen, I want to give you something that you remind me of my old partner.
Oh,
he goes,
wow.
I want you to have this. And he reaches in his back pocket and he pulls out and he hands Michael Long's old police badge.
Whoa.
And it's just like super emotional moment. Like Michael like has just like holy shit moment. Like his entire past just flashed before him.
So we can interpret it two ways, that Courtney actually really did
know,
identify him.
Yeah.
He's like, you remind me of him a lot.
Absolutely.
And because the you know, like, I can give him the benefit of the doubt that, you know, but it's just, I wanted more closure.
I agree.
Like, so that it would put his partner at ease, put Courtney at ease, like, it is you. What happened to your face?
What's your face? Your face fell off.
It's a melon.
It was just a really good little moment. I thought it was a nice emotional moment for Michael. And
yeah.
I don't know how many more moments we can have where he relives this Michael Long stuff.
I don't know. But because as soon as that moment's over, he sees Devin and Bonnie and he runs over to them.
Yeah.
And then we have the actual end of the episode.
Where he teaches Kit how to perform the bomb.
The bomb. Michael runs up, pulls off his shirt, under which he has a football jersey the same color as the Cougars.
Sure.
And then grabs a football and throws it at Kit, who catches it in his trunk or something. And they do like a, you know, whatever, the thing that they do in football. Kit throws it to him. Michael says to Kit, go long. He goes long. Kit catches the football. And then Michael runs into Kit. And then they have a celebratory turbo boost through the goalposts.
Yep. For the extra point.
Yeah, field goal. Right. Field goal. Kit field goals himself.
I'll put up that video on the Instagram stories at some point this week, so look forward to that.
Really?
So that's Knights in the Fast Lane.
Okay, I don't know.
I just like I can't hate a show like this anymore. I cannot hate this episode or anything for what these episodes are doing.
This was a weak one though.
It was definitely one of the weak. I mean, of course, we're only four episodes into the third season.
Yeah, but this was like entertaining, sure, but just a flimsy plot. Like,
yes,
the bad guy wasn't even really a bad guy.
Yeah,
he was just kind of nefarious. I mean, he was certainly a scumbag because he hit his girlfriend. And he's cheating on his wife, and he didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
But also, the girlfriend's the daughter of the police chief or whatever.
Yep.
And like, so, you know, maybe she shouldn't be hanging out with this. I don't know. It was all kind of, the plot itself was just kind of like.
There was some fun stuff in here. Again, it's really hard to review these and rate these episodes just because of how much fun I have watching them. But again, you're right. There wasn't anything overly special about this episode. It was a really average, run-of-the-mill episode. There were some really nice moments with Michael, some emotional moments when he gets the badge. Like, I know, and I like the kind of stuff where we delve into Michael Long's history. I like
more.
That stuff.
I know, because it's like a real...
Like White Bird and...
White Bird!
What's the other one? The other one in the next, this other season, White Bird, and then the follow-up with the rock band.
Oh, the rock band, I don't know.
I can't remember the name. Like, those two, like, those are the ones, like, that's the stuff, like, I want to see that emotion coming out of Michael Knight.
I know, I want to see more, like, close-ups and glassy eyes and, like...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, average episode, I'm honestly thinking I'm going to give it a belt buckle with a turbo boost.
Oh,
I'm
gonna yeah,
give
belt
it a,
buckle.
I'm going to give it a 2.5.
You know what? I was just going to give it a straight up belt buckle. That's a two. Just a straight up two.
2.5?
Definitely. Just below average. Not great.
All right. I'll not give you that great. One. Okay. Did you find yourself a Schmankman of the Week?
The Schmankman of the Week. Yeah. It was Corpse Farmer.
Corpse Farmer. Yeah. All right. I like that. I'm going to give mine to the entire team, the entire LA Cougars. For their stupid fucking shenanigans when they were jumping all over Kit, like, oh, what do you do with our ball? Like hanging off Kit's window and shit.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just gonna give it to the whole team.
The whole team. Wow, a team of Schmankmans. Team Schmankman.
A whole team of Schmankmans. Something I actually wanted to say to our listeners is that if you guys actually had a Schmankman for any of these episodes, if you've watched them, let us know.
Because
I would love to hear about Schmankmans. And it doesn't even have to be from this episode. It could be from any of the prior episodes, even if you want to go back to the beginning of the show. We'll read them off on the show.
Way in the beginning.
I would love to hear from you guys.
Way in the beginning of the show.
Greg, do you want to hear what's coming up next week?
Right in the beginning of the show. Schmankman. Corpses.
Yes. Next episode. This is going to be a doozy.
Another doozy.
Next episode is season 3, episode 5, Halloween Night.
Now, this is another MacGyver episode.
It very well could be.
Because it was called Halloween Nights, wasn't it?
It was, except not Night with a K.
No, not Night
but
with
yes,
a K.
But yes, yeah. Michael and Kit investigate after Bonnie believes she witnessed a murder from her new apartment. It's like a Rear Window scenario.
Oh, yeah, totally.
The trouble is... Michael and Devin assume she's hallucinating due to a fever. Oh, please have weird fever dreams.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I hope they have fever dreams.
I want fever dreams.
So that's what you guys have to look forward to next week. If you want to find us on social media, you can hit us up on Facebook. You can find us at Champa and Klein. You can find us on Twitter at Champa Klein. You can find us at Instagram at the Knight Rider Years. You can email us, letusblowyourmind@gmail.com. Call our hotline, 207-835-1954. Leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts also if you feel the need to do so. It is the best way for us to be seen and heard by other listeners. There was something else I was going to tell everybody, but I don't remember what it was, and that's okay. So, Greg,
David,
do you have any closing thoughts before we say good evening?
I don't know. Lead paint.
Lead paint?
That's okay. My closing thought.
All right, fair enough. All right, guys. So for the Knight Rider Years this week, I am... Douche Arrow.
I'm a fever dream about playing baseball in a football uniform. I don't know.
Wow, that went off the rails.
Yep.
All right, guys, have a fantastic week. We'll see you soon.
I'm thinking, kid. I'm not upset.
Pulse rate is up, your blood pressure is high, and you're gripping the steering wheel with alarming pressure.
There you have it, loyal listener. A fine example of what can truly be done with podcasting. Hard work, consistent output, and just the right amount of guidance from an enigmatic network overlord. Tune in again next week to see what timeless gem I dust off for your listening pleasure. Seriously. I need to get someone into this archive room and do some cleaning. It's filthy.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Podfix Network. Discover more audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following at Podfix on Twitter, official underscore Podfix on Instagram, at Podfix Network on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to Podfix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The Podfix Network, artist owned and loved.